This is Bruce Marable from EmployCycle, the HR analytics dashboard for small and medium companies. Since we already host an HR podcast, we thought the best way we could provide value is to share interviews about how HR and business leaders are trying to reduce stress and anxiety with their employees during this coronavirus public health crisis. Please listen to the following interviews, and we hope that it helps you and your company. Thanks so much for taking time to be on the EmployCycle podcast. We really appreciate you doing this, as we know you're also dealing with all of the emotional stress and anxiety and everything that everybody's dealing with from a personal and professional perspective. But today, we're really going to talk about how to lead during a crisis. And I think you have some awesome things to talk about. So if you can just give us a little bit of your background in regards to your name, title, company, what your company does, and then we can go right into the interview.
Sure. So I'm so excited to be chatting with you about this topic. It's obviously been on the top of my mind and everybody else's mind for the last 2 months. It's kind of an all-consuming topic. So I'm really excited to talk to you about it. So my name is Allie Farrell. I am the head of people at Wattify. So Wattify is an awesome, fully bootstrapped, profitable SaaS startup here in Center City, Philadelphia. Our main product is a gym management software. And so we service gyms, CrossFit gyms, and athletes globally. It's a really super cool business in the well tech space. I've just been at Wattify since January, so I'm really new to the space and really new to the organization, but it's been really great. I come from a pretty quick growth HR background. I worked at Razorfish, an advertising agency, for about 10 years, and then worked as a SVP, head of people, at Decision Resources Group, which is a global consultancy. And so I've had a lot of really diverse experience and seen a lot about what it's like to lead people. So it's been really fun.
Shout out to Razorfish. That's how we met.
Shout out. I know. Those were good days. Good days. For sure.
Yeah, pretty fun. And I would like to say this is your first podcast, so I'm really, really excited.
Well, I'm excited. I'm excited to be here.
Great. So, what is your current headcount now at Wattify?
So, Wattify right now is 25. So, we're pretty small, but we actually have pretty aggressive growth numbers this year. If you take a look at our website, you'll see we have 10 open roles. So, for a company of 25, that's growing about 50%, which is pretty impressive given how many organizations are not hiring during this crisis. I mean, we're kind of just eye on the prize and going forward and still looking to bring on some talent.
Awesome. So, today we're talking about how to be a leader during a crisis. So before we go into all the particulars and details of what that means to you, generally speaking, how should a leader operate and what's the mindset of a leader during a crisis?
Yeah, so with coronavirus specifically, we've all read so much about what organizations are doing, big, small, public, private, union, non-union. Like, people are just addressing and supporting their employees in so many different ways. And as I'm reading some of these articles, you know, it just feels like we're missing the point sometimes, in that, you know, just simple policy changes and program changes don't necessarily solve what it feels like for people to go through some of when they're worried or scared or stressed out. And so I think just being very human for your employees is so important. And to me, what that looks like and the type of leaders I like to see and like to support and the type of behaviors I like to drive in my leadership teams during times like this is that of empathy, consistency. So I think the worst thing a leader can do during a time like this is waver on how and when and what we communicate, because that freaks people out. You know, communication is really important. Being very clear and concise and balanced with how you communicate, you know, not promising something that you know you might not be able to deliver. I think that's really important. You know, no surprises too. You know, for instance, when we in Philadelphia are able to come back to work and, you know, move into the green, people need to know what that plan looks like. Nobody wants to be surprised. And I think the other thing too, that's really important, is reminding leaders during times like this, it's not about them. It's not about what they're comfortable with. It's not about what they want. It's about how we can meet the needs of our employees and the needs of the business at the same time. So it's a little bit about stepping out of yourself and putting yourself in the shoes of your employees. And just remember, like, it's not about you all the time. And I think, you know, at Wattify, at least, our leadership team has done a really good job of recognizing that and being really balanced and taking a step back. We've done one-on-one human individual check-ins with each of our employees just to see how they're doing, you know, mentally, how they're doing, what they need to work efficiently. Is there anything we can do? And we've tried to really just normalize and be consistent with what we did when we're in the office. So, you know, we still have our first Friday lunches, but instead of being together, you know, we give each of our employees to order lunch with whomever they're quarantined with instead. And so we are just trying to be consistent and bring a level of consistency for our teams. But I do really think it's just important for leaders to just be more human than they might naturally need or want to be in times like this.
So across all the interviews I've done, communication has been pretty consistent in regards to how you should be managing this situation. But I'm curious, is there an amount of over-communication that is too much? Do people get communication fatigue? And even though you want to be super transparent with your employees and your workforce, are there still some details about the business or some bits of information that you should only disclose to the leadership team?
Oh, so that's just so many philosophical questions. So I guess I'll just try to answer them from my experience and my personal perspective. I do think you can over-communicate. You know, I have obviously a large network of friends and colleagues, and we talk about what their communication looks like from their organizations. I know, you know, some company who communicates literally every single week about coronavirus, and there aren't that many significant changes every single week. And so it does become tiresome for employees, and they just don't know what to tune into and tune out to. So I do believe there can be over-communication in situations like this. And there can also be under-communication. You know, I can say that, you know, when we shut down in March, our communication to our employees was, hey, we're following governmental guidelines. You know, everyone's going to work from home until the government tells us it's safe to come back, and we're ready and prepared to do that safely. And we kind of went away and didn't communicate until this past week. And as a leadership team, we all kind of said, oh boy, it's been 8 weeks. Like, even though we don't have anything significant to update, let's give a non-update update, meaning, hey, we know there's a lot of things changing around us and in our community. You know, some of our counties are opening, some are not. But just a reminder, we're following governmental guidelines. So this is what this means, and this is where we are. So I think it's just important to just be constantly thinking and getting a pulse in the organization to see if you're communicating enough. And we realized we weren't. So it's, you know, to me, it's more important that you recognize the needs of your organization. You're tuned into what they need. And sometimes a non-update update, just reminding people, hey, we're still on track. Just a reminder, this is what we're doing, is really all a person needs to hear. So they're not, you know, creating their own truths about what's going on.
So to do a timestamp, today is May 22nd. And that's important because we want to understand where we are in the world as you're answering these questions and talking about your experience. So it seems like you've had a bit of a pivot in regards to your communication strategy based off of where we are in the world and how things have changed. Are there any other things that have changed based off of your leadership style and efforts to adapt to where we are today?
I think, at least at Wattify, that we've actually become more transparent, and we've seen the value of being truthful and transparent with our employees so they can help us lead the business. And so they have comfort leading like a business owner as well. Leading like a business owner is one of our core values at Wattify. And, you know, it requires a leadership team to be very transparent. I mean, we don't sugarcoat our numbers and we don't sugarcoat the facts. And when we need to make difficult decisions, our employees are not and should not be surprised by that. So I think that that is really important for us. We always, you know, said we wanted to lead with transparency, but I think this is, you know, during this time, we've actually recognized how critically important that really is to do that. And so that, I think, will change forever how we operate, at least at Wattify. So that has really changed. The other thing that I think has changed in a really positive way is that leaders are recognizing mental health as something very critical to just the general employee experience and well-being. So May happens to be Mental Health Awareness Month. So it's timely that we're having this conversation. And in those one-on-one conversations we had with our employees, so many of them were just using words like, you know, I'm burnt out, I'm tired, I feel like I'm working more, I don't know how to balance, my kids are home, I have to teach them math, and that's terrifying, and just like all of these things that are impacting our mental health. And so what we did, and what we're launching this week actually, is a partnership with a company called Headversity. And Headversity is really a mental strength and resilience app that gives employees exercises and different information about how to manage their mental wellness. And so we purchase a subscription for each of our employees, and we also are gifting them a subscription to give to somebody else because, you know, mental health support is something we all need to do for each other. So work, family, friends. And so we just want to make sure we're recognizing that as well. So I think the dialogue around what wellness looks like for everybody will also change after this, because it is just so at the forefront of our conversations.
I'm curious about the adoption of the apps and all services that companies are rolling out. As you can imagine, having been at a much larger company like Razorfish, which had tons of perks, discounts here, maybe discount on your cell phone, all these things that people don't even know are available and accessible, never use, but you have anyway as a perk that you want to provide to your employees. I'm curious, how do you measure the ROI of a lot of these apps? Do you do surveys post rolling out these wellness offerings and wellness apps, or do you just give them to the employees and hope for the best?
So no, my style is not really a hope and pray kind of style. So, you know, because we want to be very transparent and we want our employees to feel comfortable leading like business owners, before we roll out programs like Headversity, we'll survey the team and say, hey, I came across this app, this tool, this product, this perk. What do you think about it? Would you use it if we had it? And so before we invest, we'll survey our team just to see if it's something that they would even use. And with Headversity specifically, we had about 60% of our employees that said, yes, like sign me up. This would be great. And so, you know, before we invest, we like to ask to make sure we're not making the wrong investment. And in that kind of survey, employees also surface other things they think would be really cool and really applicable. So we do that first. So we're only going to engage with products and companies that we think our teams will use. So we're not falling into that trap of just kind of plastering something on our offerings page on our intranet and having people not use it. But I also think if I'm introducing something as an HR leader, I'm driving it and I'm advocating for it. I'm making sure it ties into our values and our purpose so I can weave it all together and it's more meaningful experience for employees. I think when organizations just offer for the sake of offering something and don't keep it alive and don't tie it back to the values and the purpose, that's when it gets lost and just becomes, you know, a link on your onboarding page. So we are just really conscious of tying everything together and making it valuable.
As a lot of people are trying to figure out how to be a great leader during this crisis, they also have to figure out how to be a great leader during a crisis while also being remote. So I'm curious, what are the biggest challenges and potential opportunities that you've seen around being a remote leader during a crisis?
So I'm going to start with opportunities first, because I've seen so many really awesome things with the team that I support. When you're remote like this, even though we spend 90% of our time on Zoom and we're face to face, it really forces you to dial up your communication and your active listening. When you're together and you're feeding and like vibing off body language in the same room, it's easier to land your communication the right way. When you're remote and you don't have the luxury of being in the room, of reading someone's full body language, it can be really hard to communicate. And so I think this has really forced people to listen more actively and consciously to what their colleagues are saying, and has forced people to be maybe a little bit more thoughtful about what they say before they say it, because they can't read the room. So I think that's been really great. I think working remotely for us and probably for many other organizations has kind of been a little trial, right? I mean, so much of the world is working in a more remote fashion. And so it's been good for us as a business to try it And whether we decide we like it or whether we decide we don't, we have data to back up that decision, which I think is really good as well. You love data, so you could probably appreciate that. And, you know, aside from the stress piece of it, in terms of balancing it, we have heard from our employees that it's been a little bit of a good mental break from the rat race. You know, they're not commuting in, they're not wasting time doing things like that. They're running more, they're outside more. And so I think that there have been some really good opportunities for people to rethink what balance looks like for them. So the balance piece and the communication piece, I think, have been great opportunities. I think the challenge for us is that just given the type of work we do, and the organization we have, we're used to collaborating like shoulder to shoulder. You know, when you're designing and developing a product, that energy and just like being able to get up and whiteboard and, you know, eat lunch together and just have that very human interaction has been a little bit of a struggle, honestly. I mean, it's, we're losing a little bit of that in-person energy you get when you're brainstorming. So that's been a little bit of a challenge, and we're working through it the best we can, but that's a challenge. You know, recruiting has been a challenge as well, to be quite honest. We're obviously, you know, we're still hiring, but some of our candidates have said, hey, I really love this. I would love to join you guys, but I want to see what it's like to be in office. I want to be there when there's energy. And so we've had to pause some candidates who we would otherwise have already hired because they just want to see what it's like to be in the office. So those have been probably our two main challenges is the lack of ability to be shoulder to shoulder and quickly collaborate, and then recruiting to a degree.
Ali, you have been such an amazing podcast guest, and it was so great to reconnect with you after all these years.
Well, this was so fun. It's so at the top of mind, and I kind of can't wait for you know, coronavirus to be over so we can all go out and go out to dinner and do all of those things, but also just to see what we learn from it. I'm so excited for it to be over just to absorb all the learnings. But I do think if there's anything my colleagues and friends and everyone listening could take away, it's just not underestimating how critical it is to be human as a leader and to just step outside of yourself and really think about your employees and recognize that slapping a policy change or creating a new program might not necessarily solve the very human emotional impact of something like this.
Thank you so much for sharing all this awesome wisdom and knowledge and being so transparent with your experience going through this crisis, and especially with this being your first podcast. You totally nailed it.
Woo! Well, hopefully I get to do more.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Thank you, Bruce.
Yeah, on behalf of our team at EmployCycle and everyone who is listening, I want to say thank you. Please stay safe, stay healthy. We hope you, your family, and your team are okay, and we appreciate you taking the time.
Oh, thanks so much. You as well.
If this interview helped you, please send to all the HR and business leaders in your network, since we're all looking for some reassurance, some guidance, and a sense of community. Stay tuned for more episodes by subscribing to the EmployCycle podcast on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever else you listen to podcast episodes. Or you could also check in at employcycle.com/podcast to get more interviews like this. Please. Stay safe and stay healthy. Talk to you soon.